Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another very special episode of Let's Get Real. My name is Brandon, and today we got a very, very fine guest with us. He's someone I really look up to, but first, let's play the intro, shall we? That's right. Now, I know a lot of times we get a lot of young guests with us, but once in a while we get a guest that is, yes, a little bit more mature, but it's important to note that they are very young at heart. I'm not talking about myself, I'm talking about my guest today. Yes. He is first time on the set of Let's Get Real, and he's someone that I look up to because of the values and the principle, what I call kingdom values that he holds, not just in his own personal life, but also in his business and in the marketplace. Ladies and gentlemen, from Nehemiah Reinforced Source, Sinaran Bahar, please welcome Nehemiah Lee.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Woo! Yeah! Very good. Very good. That's right.
It's indeed my pleasure, yes, honor to be on this show.
I want to say, first of all, thank you so much. Is it okay if I address Nehemiah, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. So Nehemiah, or should I call Uncle Nehemiah?
No,
right? Just Nehemiah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for agreeing to say yes. You know, usually we have to convince a lot of people multiple times to come. But when you heard about the show, when you spoke to me the first time at a conference, we were at this conference, and you asked me, who am I? What am I doing? And you said, yes, I've heard of Let's Get Real. And he said, it's amazing what you're doing. You have no idea, by the way, how much that encouraged me. You have no idea how much we need to hear from also people from the generation before us, the trailblazers, what I would like to, the pioneers.
Maybe two generations.
Maybe you got three or so, actually. I'm not going to bluff you. Maybe even three. Yeah, but it's so important for young people like us to hear something like that, because it validates what we're doing, and it gives us so much confidence, actually. A lot of confirmation in our hearts. So I want to also...
I think you're all doing a great job.
Thank Fantastic. You so much. And it means a lot to us. Yeah. And I still remember, and I still hold it very dear to my heart, what you said.
You can
day.
Reach what we cannot reach.
Amen. And you can also do many things that we cannot do. In fact, you have done many things that I will... Well, let's potentially talk about. Now, of course, Nehemiah, you are the founder of Nehemiah Reinforced Soil Sinaran Bahar. But today, a lot of people know you from there. A lot of people, yes, they drive through the highway, they see the hexagonal walls, they know this is the Nehemiah wall. But for the purpose of the show today, we are not going to talk about all your business exploits. We're not going to be talking about all the awards. We want to talk to you as Nehemiah Lee. Is that okay?
Sure.
Right. So first things first, I need to ask you, how are you doing today? You makan ready? Are you feeling good or not?
I have not makan yet.
You're not makan yet, are you?
I'm feeling good.
You're feeling good, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So besides being, the founder of a company, you are, of course, in many ways, a brother, a father, a son as well, and a friend. So yes, that is the aspects that we're going to concentrate on today. Again, it's such a huge privilege to have you sitting across me right now. But to do this, what we're going to do is we're going to go back into the past.
Sure.
Now, you're much older than I am, so we're going to go back way back into the past. Yeah. We're talking about,
it's a long way back.
It's a long way back. Yeah. But let's go back still, because I think that's very important to understand somebody's background and their history. Mm. So maybe you can share with us, if you don't mind, what was your childhood like? Where did Nehemiah Lee grow up? Like, what kind of kid was Nehemiah Lee? What kind of student what were your parents like as well, if you don't mind?
Okay, sure. I'm basically a kampung boy. I grew up in a small village called Kahang New Village near Kluang in Johor. And we were from very poor family, and my father passed away when I was 18 months old, and so life was challenging, especially for my mom.
Right.
Because I have altogether five brothers and one sister. And of course, my mom remarried later on. But she was a school teacher. So she has, of course, together later on with my stepfather to earn income, enough money. To bring us up, and she's very determined to send us for further education. Most of my contemporary in the kampong, after standard six, they go and tap rubbles and so on. But she knew the importance of education.
Wow.
And we owe a lot to my mom.
Wow.
That she was determined, no matter how poor we are, she would send us for further education. Secondary school, I went to Kluang, and then of course, and I went to Singapore for my pre-university and so on.
Yeah.
So that's how I grew up. But when I was young, I don't feel that I was underprivileged. I mean, most of my contemporary are also from the kampong. I was happy and carefree.
Yeah. Mm. So what kind of a student were you? I'm very interested to know this. Were you the rebellious guy, talk back to teacher? Or were you those straight A prefect la, or what hit prefect? What kind of student were you like?
I was quite obedient one. I'm a mom.
The quiet one la.
In a way, but I'm rebellious in other ways la.
Right.
I don't want to conform to certain things. Primary school, I was a top student and even secondary school. But when I enter university, I think there are a lot of very clever, intelligent guys, and the competition is very stiff, especially engineering faculty.
Yeah.
So I became like average lah.
Right.
La.
Right. Yeah. So you were actually quite a good student lah. I would
for
say.
A start la.
Yeah.
But what about the competition become very stiff? I become more or less like an average guy. Like.
Very humble, very humble. I need to check with your other students from back then whether you're telling me or this one, you know, trying to be very humble here.
Well, of course, I have other distractions and all that. Like,
right,
university life.
So, university life. La.
Yeah, so I also chose to spend more time in social lives other than just on the books. Like.
Now, just out of curiosity as well, was your mom a Christian already back then?
No. She only became a Christian very much later in life. I was the main person who tried to convince her to receive Christ.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, Nehemiah, because you lost your dad when you were 18 months old. That's barely, you know, you're basically a toddler almost, right? You're only 1 year, 6 months old.
Yeah, I don't think
I don't know
whether I can walk or not at that age. Yet.
Meaning to say that
I don't really know much about my father.
Exactly. Yeah. That means you never even really met your actual father. Now, as growing up, when you were a kid or when you were a teenager, do you think that affected you having, not having that father figure, or was it still okay for you?
It was okay.
It was still okay.
Basically, my mom,
she had to take on that role.
Become the father and mother to me. I have a stepfather.
Yes.
Whom my mom remarried. He's a very kind, a very good man. Mm. And he's a Christian.
Wow.
But he leave a lot of the discipline to my mom.
Did you kena rotan or not, first of all?
Sure. I ran from her. And she sent my older brother who outran me and brought me back. And I
got kena. Wow. So wait, do you apply this to your children?
I hardly have to use cane. Although I still believe that discipline is very important.
Yeah, yeah.
And you spare the rod, you spoil the child.
Correct. This is the what you call it, the I think almost the mantra of every parent that is, 40 and above. You spare the rod, you spoil the child.
Yeah, that's our generation.
Yes. Now, you grew up in a family that I think wasn't a Christian. Like you say, your mom wasn't a Christian. Were you the first in your family to accept Christ, apart from your stepfather? Because you say you have six siblings altogether.
Yeah, including me, six siblings. I think I'm among the first.
You're among the first. Yeah. Which begs the question, when did you first hear the name Jesus Christ?
When I was just a little boy. My mom, although wasn't a Christian, she has very good opinion about Christianity and the church. And being a single mother, of course, later on with my stepfather. She was very busy with work, earning money, and also she has seven children, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, when I was young, I was the fourth one. Don't have much time to really take care of me.
Yeah.
She felt that she should send me to the church so that I would not fall into bad company.
Right.
And I would learn something good.
It's fantastic wisdom.
Yeah, so I heard about Jesus since a very young age. Although I couldn't understand why do people want to kill Jesus, such a good man. I didn't understand that.
So what was your first reaction when obviously you grew up in an environment where you heard about the name Jesus Christ, but at such a young age, Did you really understand who he is, what this Jesus has done for you in your life? Is there one moment in your life where, you know, you decided to take that step of faith and say, yes, I want to say the sinner's prayer. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Do you remember that time?
Sure. That is a watershed of my life at the age of 20.
What happened?
As I look back, try to analyze how did I reach there. Although I was exposed to Christianity, but just all the usual Bible story, creation story, and all those things, don't really understand, like I said, why Jesus had to be killed, a good man, things like that. I think has to do with why I lost my... has to do with me losing my father at a very young age of 18 months. I had a lot of questions to ask God.
Yeah.
Why did you take my father away? And is there really a God? If there is a God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to spend my life on earth here? What you want? Why? What's the purpose of my life? And maybe I also will die young. Things like that.
Yeah.
I asked those questions as a child. And I asked anybody whom I thought know the answer. And I don't have the answer for many years. I keep asking. Until the age of 20, when I met Christ personally. And my questions were answered.
And how did that event come about? Because these questions, I can only imagine, you know, it's very confusing questions because, you know, we had a guest in as well, you know, and we talk about how God is so, you know, God is a good God, but yet you have these questions that kind of conflicts that statement that God is good because he took your father away so young and you also cannot understand, you know, you say you're a good God, but then why you have to take my father away? I never even get a chance to have the father and son moment with him. Or I never get a chance to grow up with, you know, with my father. So what led you to say that, okay, Lord, I'm surrendering my life to you? Is there a specific event or was it a gradual thing that led you to say, Lord, I want to submit now, I want to accept you? Was it like you say, it's a watershed?
I mean, the decision was made, it's a moment in time. But I think it builds up over the years. And I ask questions and people try to answer me. And I met some not good Christian and then some good Christian, some hypocritical Christians.
Yes.
Some very genuine in the faith, especially when I enter university. I met some very genuine in the sense that God is very real in their life. I'm curious. Hey, you cannot see God, how can you know God?
So you were one of those intellectual skeptics. Would you say that?
You can say that. I'm intellectual.
Yeah, because you would reason, you would try to rationalize the matter and the existence of God.
Yes.
So it's almost like if you say that, then prove it to me.
Yeah. Basically, I want scientific evidence. And of course, being a science student, I want it to be proven, which you cannot prove.
Yes.
In the sense, my friend says, this one, you have to take a step of it. You have to take a plunge.
Yeah.
And I eventually took a plunge. After reading the Bible by myself, somebody gave me, I read it for quite many months.
Wow.
Eventually, I also want to find out which religion is the true religion. Since we have Christianity, we have Islam.
Yes. Buddhism, Hinduism.
So I said, I have the Bible and I know a bit of Christianity. Let's begin with Christianity.
Wow, I think this is God. Thank God the Lord, you know, preserve you as well. I can see the Lord's hand in this. Because if you started, you know, even so, if you started with something else, you know, you could have been on a very different path. But yet you started something like, for you, it's more
familiar.
I think
I will be led to Christianity.
Of course.
Although, I want to go for the true and real one.
Yes.
Yeah. So, after I found Christ, it was so real and so good that I didn't bother with the remainder religion.
Yeah.
Which I told another Buddhist friend of mine, I say, that's not fair. You never try Buddhism.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's so real and so good. I didn't I mean, I still read about Islam, Buddhism, mm-hmm. and all that, but I don't think I will take that path.
Now, I'm very curious to know, because you said you were one of the first among your siblings to accept Christ, and you also shared just now that your mom only accepted Christ much later in life.
Yeah.
I would assume this was in Singapore when you're 20, because you say you did uni, your pre-U.
Pre-U in Singapore. Mm. I accepted Christ first year in the University of Malaya.
What did your mom, did you tell your mom, number one? And number two, how did your mom react to this news? Do you remember?
I did not. I took my own decision, made my own decision. By then, I was already making my own decision.
Yeah.
Financially, also independent in the sense that I worked very hard to get a scholarship. During school holiday, I worked to earn income and all that because I don't want to burden my family. So, decision also I made. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she would not object to it. Of course, my stepfather is also quite happy with it.
Yeah.
Nobody objected. Except maybe my eldest brother. He found that I'm spending so much time in church, like giving my life or wasting my life. He was a little bit skeptical.
He's scared you're going to con, is it?
Yeah, like yeah. In a way, maybe you're brainwashed already. Mm. In fact, he warned my younger brother, don't stay close to Jihai, my Chinese and Jihai. You might be influenced by him also brainwashed.
So, okay, what's the story today with all your siblings, especially this elder brother? Sorry for prodding and probing, because I want to know, what is the status of this elder brother? Please, let me know.
He's close to the Lord.
Wow. Fantastic. So, your mom was totally okay with it, and then that was in uni, that was 20 years ago, that was many, many years ago, and you've been a child of God, I would say, for...
Almost 50 years ago.
Almost
age 50. Age 20. Now I'm close to the 70. Next year I'll be 70.
And you're celebrating your 50th anniversary as a child of God.
Yeah.
Now, I need to ask you as well, because, you know, 50 years journeying with God, there's been ups and downs, I'm sure. There's not being a Christian doesn't mean that it's always a bed of roses. And we know that in our Christian journey.
Yeah.
Has there been any time at all that you doubted God? Even... Yes. His existence, even his love for you, the goodness of God. Has there been any point in your life where you said, God, this cannot be, you know, this is not. Has there been any?
The first 10 years of my Christian life full of doubts. A lot of struggle. But before that, I think one of the things that really landed a very strong foundation in my faith is the book, Know Why You Believe by Paul E. Little. It's a very old book. But I would recommend anybody searching for God.
Mm. One more time, what is it?
Know Why You Believe.
Okay.
By Paul E. Little.
Mm.
That helped me to, like you said, I'm more intellectual.
Yes.
I want to be convinced.
Yeah.
But yet, scientifically, you cannot put God into an experiment to prove it. But it is still a reality.
Mm.
Except that different dimension. Is a spiritual dimension, not a physical, scientific dimension.
Mm,
God is beyond science.
Yes.
Yeah. So that book helped me to have foundation. But I need to have a spiritual experience.
That's right.
Which happened when I took the leap of faith. But after taking that, I still struggle with doubts for many years.
What kind of doubts? About really the existence, whether it's real?
Because... I knew that following Christ, I have to give up my all.
Mm.
And I was reading the book, Give Up Your Small Ambitions, written by Michael Griffiths.
Mm.
Basically, you give up even your own ambition, only God's ambition.
Yeah.
Everything is for God. So, that is very... I mean, I'm giving up everything. What if... God is not real at the end of the day, you know?
Then everything is wasted.
I feel wasted. All my effort, energy, everything spent is all in vain.
Mm.
So what happened if I found it's wrong?
Yeah.
So there's a lot up and down the first 10 years of my life.
And then how? Because now you say first 10 years, right? So I want to focus on a time now where things are starting to look better in terms of your Christian walk. Mm. That 10 years, I'm sure, is most, maybe it's like I would akin it to maybe the Israelites wandering in the desert almost, right? Because you're looking for answers, you're looking for why. No,
that wandering was before I...
Was before in you, before your...
age of 20.
Yeah.
In fact, I respond to an altar call was when the missionary talk about the people in wilderness for 40 years.
Mm.
I thought, I was in wilderness for the past so many years. I keep asking a question. So he said, enter the promised land and waste your time. Mm. So that's where I took a step of faith. Wow. But then after that, about 10 years, I don't know exactly how many years. Those 10 years, there is a lot of struggle, a lot of ups and downs. But the critical moment came. I heard a rebuke from God.
A rebuke?
Yes.
Oh, this is lying daripada yang lain. This is different. I thought you're going to hear the voice of God saying, I love you.
No,
you heard a rebuke instead.
How can you still doubting me? God rebuke me. After how much I have loved you, answers your prayer, rescue from desperate situation, give you your heart's desire, and so real to you, and you still doubting me? And what God was saying to me was true. And I repented that I was still doubting God despite so clear evidence that it's real.
Mm.
Yeah. And from then on, I told God, I will no longer doubt you again.
That's when the song comes, No Turning Back.
Well, it's like a second No Turning Back. Like.
Yes,
I mean, when I received Christ and was baptized, that was a song that was sang.
Yeah.
But it wasn't rosy, the first 10 years at least. Because, I mean, when I received Christ, people tell me, you receive the abundant life, joy, love, and everything. It's all true, but there's a cost to it.
Mm.
There's a cost to it and a high price to pay for it.
Mm.
So then that is where the challenges was.
Yeah. Mm. Now, would you say now that you look back, right, after when, I mean, your story is quite amazing in the sense that usually when people encounter God, it's encountering in a very loving condition, a very loving way, when the, you know, it's almost like the father embracing the son. And yours is a rebuke that caused you to wake up, a rebuke that caused you to say, wow, you know, how can I be still doubting this Savior of mine after so much that He has done for you in your life? Mm. And I think it's safe to say, you know, I feel God has really tremendously done a lot for you in your life.
Yes, yes, without doubt.
Without a doubt.
Mm.
Now,
it's like very difficult to convince me and He go out to convince me.
And I think some people are like that actually, because some people, right, you try to sit down with them, you give them so much nice love, sweet talk them, they're not going to buy it, you know. But I think God knew what kind of person you are in a blessed way. That's why He had to rebuke you. Then only you would, because people respond to God's calling very differently sometimes. And I think maybe God knew you, and that's why He gave you a, like, you know, like, spare the rod and spoil the child.
Kick in the back.
So He really whip you into shape and say, hey, hello, you know, I'm here. How can you doubt me?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because yours was a rebuke instead that caused you to, hey, you know, God, I accept, you know.
I apologize to God. I said, you sorry, repented. I have been doubting you.
Was that difficult to do, or just that was the time when you really...
Yeah. It wasn't that difficult. The difficulty was during those 10 years.
Yeah, I understand.
When I mean, I thought become a Christian, that means life is a bed of roses. Mm. It wasn't. In fact, more difficult. And the other difficult part was I felt guilt of sin as I never before. Very suddenly, awareness of a lot of sin. And then, wow, I never felt so much guilt before. And I have to confess to God, I have to pray to God for forgiveness. Not a very pleasant experience.
Yeah.
I almost say, yeah, like that. Christianity is... I was sold the good message, the good part of the message, but the bad part is like after sales wasn't after really sales. What I expected, you know?
Yeah, you said after sales, not very good like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's so much humility, putting oneself, yourself down,
yeah,
and you say giving up your ambitions, literally giving your all unto him.
My ambition and my pride and everything.
Yeah. Mm. Now, if you don't mind me asking it, because this then just popped into my mind, your mom accepted Christ much later in life. I'm very interested to know, number one, why did it take so long? And you said you had an effort, you made a huge effort as well to convince her, right? You were one of those that were very active in convincing her.
Yeah.
So today, of course, I'm happy to hear you say earlier that today she is also a child of God. Yes. How did your mom come to know Christ? This one I'm actually quite interested to know.
Yeah, it's a long story.
Yeah.
So I've been every time, because she is staying in a kampong, I'm working here. When I go back, I try to share the gospel with her, tell her about Jesus and all that. She is, like I said, she is positive about Christianity, but she doesn't want to commit.
So she actually is, she's willing to listen. She's like, she'll nod her head. But she don't want to say yes.
Yeah, she even like, my second brother become a Catholic.
Mm.
And she said, see, you never go and talk to your brother.
Mm.
See, he now become Catholic. He's not a Christian. To her, he's Catholic, not Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
she can even tell you something like this.
Yeah, because she knew that I would love my whole family come to know the Lord.
Yes, yes.
So she knew my heart. Mm. And yet she herself don't want to commit.
And it came strange.
Yeah, it came only after she had stroke and she was bedridden.
Mm.
And she could still communicate some.
Mm.
Not that much.
Mm.
Then there was one day, because I'm afraid she will leave this earth without Christ. So I want to be sure. Then I ask her, have you received Christ?
You asked her directly?
Yes. And she scolded me. You mean to say up to now you still think that I'm not a believer? Most of the time she have difficulty because of the stroke.
Yeah.
But this, she burst out quite loudly, tell me that up to now you just think that I'm not a Christian, something like that.
Mm.
Then I knew she's safe.
Wow. It's amazing that many times, Dr. Nehemiah, in your life, it feels like people have to scold you on. Why? Why does it feel like a lot of times?
That's why
you're
not a very obedient child.
It feels like Jesus himself has to scold you, rebuke you. Yeah, your mommy has to scold you. It feels like many times in your life, you have to get scolded, dead only you.
But I want to be convinced because I didn't see the
you weren't sure as well. That's why you asked directly. Then she just responded like that.
Yeah.
Wow. So after that, you got your answer.
Yeah.
And then there was, I believe, you know, much more peace in your heart.
Sure.
Wow. Praise the Lord, really.
I helped her to recite the Psalm 23 because she was sick and all that. And that Psalm meant a lot to her.
Mm, that's awesome.
So whenever I go and see her, I will help her to memorize the Psalms.
Wow.
In Mandarin, of course.
Yes, in Mandarin. So, you speak Mandarin, I'm guessing. Do you know how to read and write in Mandarin as well, in Chinese?
I'm Chinese educated up to primary school.
I see.
Although I did the subject until from 5 lah. Mm-hmm. I managed to get a credit for my Chinese.
Yeah. You had to slip that in. I noticed. You just had to put that in.
Fantastic. Proud of that. I was proud of that.
Very
because
good.
Because in secondary school, those national school, they don't have much the Chinese lesson. You have to after school or separate class and then not many people take.
Now, I know I mentioned earlier that we wanted to steer away from your business and things like that, but it is part of your identity as well. And one of the things I admire about you a lot, Nehemiah, is the fact that you're very vocal about your faith. And it's something I truly admire because it is not easy. One thing to be vocal about your faith to Christians is very easy. You want to be vocal for me to tell you, I love God, you know, Jesus loves you, is very easy to do. But one thing that you are very courageous is you speak about God in the media and you speak about your faith in interviews that are not Christian without a cross behind here. And that's one thing I admire a lot. Now, I want to ask you, number one, why are you so vocal? In fact, I was watching an interview of you. This is in 2011, maybe, I think sometime ago, and it was a TV interview, and I watched an excerpt of it on YouTube, by the way. And I was amazed. Of course, at that time, I was much younger. And I did my research, lah. I didn't come without doing homework, you know. I did research, you know. And you talked about your faith on TV, by the way. You know, you talk about the values and the values that you hold very dear to your heart and you apply it in your business. And I thought that was fantastic because to someone like me who is also in the media industry, this is a breath of fresh air, you know that? This is so welcoming to know and to hear. So, two parts to this question. First, why are you so vocal about your faith? Secondly, is it hard? Number one, do you think you have fared better or worse being so vocal about your faith, especially in this marketplace, especially in out in the public sphere? Two parts. First part, okay, first, why are you so vocal?
Actually, why is quite easy to answer. Okay. In the sense that, in fact, before that, I always feel that I have not been
vocal enough. No way.
I am not a good witness in the sense that firstly, I'm reserved.
Okay.
I'm more introverted. I don't want, and I always respect people's view. I don't want to impose my view on people.
Okay.
Yeah. But when people ask me about myself, I mean, God is such a essential part of my life, basically. So, how can I talk about my life? You want to know about my life, not talk about God.
Yeah.
So it is, I try to be as sensitive as possible. I think you are referring to the TV or Astro Hour.
Yes, you are right, correct.
And it's a national
station. One thing, by the way, but Astro Awani is also, the target audience is, you know, mostly Malay and Muslims, you see. So that's why I was...
So, but it is, I mean, it's the honest... If you want to be authentic and honest, that one will come out. Because it's
who you are.
Who I am. Yeah. It's my conviction. It's my life. It is me. I mean, if you want to know about me, that's me. So it comes up quite naturally in a way.
Fantastic.
Of course, other time I'm vocal when I get angry. Like corruption and all that, I'm very angry.
Yeah.
I really cannot tahan. So it will burst out. Those are the time I really vocal.
What about the second part? Because being vocal about your faith, you know, let me tell you the truth, being in this industry that I am as well, I try to be as vocal as I can. You know, doing this ministry as well is part of me trying to be as vocal as I can about my faith as well, about God. And I can be honest as well with you that sometimes it hasn't fared well, meaning to say that you get passed out on opportunities because this guy is so Christian, you know, you don't want to be associated with this person. Constantly he's talking about Jesus, about God. I don't want to invest in this kind of, you know what I mean? So how has it fared for you? Because you, like I said, are a trailblazer to me. And that's why I say I admire, I can look up to people like yourself because you've done it for multiple years. You know, I've done it for maybe about 10 years or so, but you've done it for a long time. So maybe you can encourage me in some ways as well. How has it fared for you? Have you fared better or have you fared not so well?
Well,
so vocal.
I mean, they are positive and they are negative response. Positive one, of course, I receive a lot of people encourage me, like you encouraging me, word of affirmation and all that. I receive a lot and people tell me I feel inspired, things like that. So that give me a lot of more energy, energize me to go forward. But of course, they are negative ones.
Yes.
I'm being made fun of, for example. Even before I started my business, I was in a company where the culture is, I would say, toxic. Yamsing culture, for example. So so we went for a dinner, as usual. My boss would bring two bottles of XO, go and drink. We must finish it tonight. Everybody must see who's the champion, that kind of environment. So I will abstain. In fact, before that, I told my boss already. When I was offered the job, and then I heard that the culture is like that. Yeah. In fact, the big boss will ask you two questions: Do you drink? Do you womanize or smoke?
They ask you in the interview itself.
He didn't ask me that. But he's typically asked other people.
Right.
So when I heard that, I went to see him. I said, I bring my letter appointment. I said, I think, firstly, I don't work on Sunday.
Okay.
Secondly, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't womanize. If you think that that is a disadvantage, maybe you take back the letter of appointment. He said, oh, it's okay, as long as you perform, doesn't matter.
So you actually...
So he accepted. I mean, so on that, I accepted the letter.
Yeah.
So when I start working, and...
Your boss come with two bottles of XO.
Yeah. So, of course, everybody I'm seeing, and then he tried to be the champion, drink the most before he down and all that. Then somebody will say, hey, why don't you drink? I said, I don't drink. Health reason, no. Because my belief, I do occasional drinking. I say, weddings or things like that, celebration, I have a glass of wine.
Yep.
But not this kind of drinking until you're down and then that
get drunk and make a fool out of yourself.
Yes, I don't do that. Then somebody say, pass him some milk lah. Basically, it's to say that I'm a CC lah, I'm a softy lah. So, and then lah. And another occasion, after the makan, okay, let's go for chapter two.
We all understand what we all roughly know what do they mean when they say chapter two lah.
And my boss purposely put me on the spot. Okay, Chi Hai, ask me again, where are you going to bring us tonight? See, we have an overseas guest. How can we make them happy and all those things? Before I could answer, I was struggling how to answer. Somebody say, don't ask him lah, he'll bring you to church.
Wow, saved by your colleague, I'm guessing someone else, yeah.
He is making fun of me.
Because
it's that's the only place I know how to go.
But out of curiosity, how would you have answered? Because you didn't have to answer that. Very interesting, just for a segue here. How would you have answered a question like that? Your boss put you on the spot, you know.
I may even say...
I'll bring you to church, really bring you to church.
I may say, let's go karaoke lah. My karaoke is... There's a limit one. Because other people have beyond the limits.
So throughout
I stand my ground.
Yes.
But so you do have this kind of response.
But would you say that you have fared way better? It means the good definitely outweighs the bad and is something that you will never change. You will continue to be vocal about your faith until the day you die.
Well, I think... See, now these same people who ridicule me, admire me and respect me.
Yeah. And they're not drinking milk, right? No. I hope
they're
not.
So, actually, they say something to them.
Yeah.
Fantastic. In fact, this boss eventually, later on, whenever we go for drinking, like friend already, Jihai, tonight I'll be drunk. Remember to... First, you drive me home.
Oh, really? He asked you to drive him home? Designated driver?
Because I'm the only one sober, ma.
Yeah.
Secondly, that day was raining. He brought his umbrella. He said, make sure to remember, bring back this umbrella because this one got sentimental value.
Wow. So besides your normal job, you're a designated Grab driver as well.
So, eventually, there is, I think, positive things. There is some impact, witnessing doesn't mean that just to
share the gospel, Bible, open and tell
but
people.
But it is your value system that is conveying the message.
Your life and the values that you hold is the one that will speak actually much more volume, and especially like the integrity that you hold on to. Because these are all kingdom values, and I think people can see. And you'll be surprised, I know this as well, people are constantly observing actually. People are constantly looking and observing. And I think that's one thing, when I look at your life, I think this principle for me is very apparent in your life, where you've chosen to honor God, and God in turn has honored you.
Amen.
That is
without a doubt,
yes. And that's something I can tell just while conversing with you, that you've chosen to honor God, and in turn God has honored you.
Yes.
And it's a promise of the Bible as well. It's what the Word of God says: honor me, and I will, honor God, and He will honor you.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's fantastic to know. Now, because of the interest of time, I want to ask you this question. Now, you are at time of this interview, you are one more year from the big 70. You have been a Christian. I would say let's round it up to 50. 49 years you've been a child of God.
Yeah.
It's a long journey, Nehemiah. Yes. It's a very long journey. You've had your struggles, you know, and you have the privilege of seeing your mom also know Christ.
Yeah.
And you've also set up a company of your own, you know, and it's done so well. And you've got kids and you've got grandchildren. You're at this stage of life now, right now, that where there's so many things to look back on and to reflect on. And when you look back at your journey as a Christian, what can you say about God?
I think to know God and to be loved deeply by Him is the most wonderful thing you can ever have. That's the best thing that can happen to you. That's why at the age of 20, when I commit myself to God, it's a watershed.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So simple, short,
yep,
but yet so profound. I really like that. Mm. Now, before I let you go, Dr. Nehemiah, can we pray for you? Is that okay?
Sure.
Come, let me pray for you. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for Nehemiah's life, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've been so real in his life, Lord. We thank you that even the times of struggles, Lord Jesus, you have never left nor forsaken him. We thank you for the life, Lord, that you've given him, Lord Jesus, that he's so vocal about his faith, Lord. He's so vocal about who you are and what you are to him in his life. We just want to pray, Lord Jesus, even for his age, Lord, we know he's still young at heart, Lord. He's still so happy and so ready to serve you and to use his time and resources, Lord, for the kingdom of God. And so, Lord Jesus, I just want to pray that you open many more doors for him, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus, he may be getting on, but we know, Lord Jesus, that your work in him is not complete, Lord, that you have many more plans, Lord Jesus, in store for him and his family, Lord. So I just want to pray that you open many doors, opportunities for him, yes, Lord Jesus, to expand and sow into the kingdom of God, Lord Jesus, that his fruits, Lord, the labor of his fruits, Lord, he will be able to rest in them, Lord Jesus, that his rewards are many in heaven, Lord, that, Lord Jesus, you bless him, Lord, in his business as well, Lord. You bless him with the leadership, Lord Jesus, that is honorable in your eyes, Lord. That when he finally, Lord Jesus, is, you know, he's finally done and he can retire, and one day, Lord, he will definitely hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And so, Lord Jesus, give him, Lord Jesus, that quality, Lord Jesus. Give him, Lord, that unwavering strength, Lord. Give him, Lord Jesus, that wisdom as well, Lord. The wisdom, Lord Jesus, that can only come from you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly, godly wisdom, Lord, to navigate through life and business as well. Bless him. Let him be the head and not the tail, Lord Jesus. Let him be the top and not the bottom, oh Lord. In everything that he does, you give him, Lord, the anointing of Joseph, Lord. Whatever his hands touch, Lord, you will bless, oh Lord. Thank you for his life, Jesus. And we thank you that he is also here to really just share his life so openly, so honestly with all of us, Lord Jesus. Pray, Lord, you use him mightily for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Any last words, Nehemiah, before you say goodbye? Anything you want to say? This is the time to do so.
Well, you have not considered Christ, definitely. Really, you should. Just like what happened to me 40 years ago.
49 years ago.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, fantastic.
It's so wonderful to know God and to be deeply loved by Him.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dr. Nehemiah. I want to say on behalf of the team and all of us, we want to say it's a privilege and an honor to have you here.
It's my pleasure as well.
Yes, it's truly our pleasure as well. And like Dr. Nehemiah said, right, if you want to come to know Christ and it's worth knowing and it's so precious that God knows you, and God more than knows you, God loves you, and to be deeply loved by Him is something that you will never, never want to look back on, and you will never regret this decision.
Amen.
So ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know more, please make sure you subscribe. If you want to listen to more of these stories, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also stream us on all the major podcast platforms, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts as well. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook as well. We're going to say goodbye out of here, but don't forget, we also have a Discord community server. We can join. There's a whole bunch of people there you can do life with. You can even ask for prayer for there. And who knows, if you really want to accept Christ, even after listening to this story by Dr. Nehemiah, you can let us know and we can pray for you and with you. So thank you so much once again to Nehemiah for being on the show with us. We absolutely enjoyed it. Until next time, this is Let's Get Real with me, Brandon Ho, and Dr. Nehemiah saying bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode of our podcast. We believe and trust that you'll be inspired, blessed and encouraged by this episode.
And if you'd like to see more episodes like this, be sure to subscribe to our channel, like this video and share it with your friends.
Also, we have a Discord community where you can join, have fun and even seek for prayer. And of course, if you want to support this ministry, this studio and keep us going, you can drop your love gifts at the bank details that you see on your screens right now.
Be sure to earmark Let's Get Real or LGR so that we know that your giving will be used for this show.
Thank you so much in advance. Until next time, God bless.